Today's lesson or message is coming from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, where we're going to talk about a prophet, Elijah, and a miracle Elijah did with a family who had lost all means for living. They needed a filling. And I dare say that we might need a refill right now in the midst of COVID fatigue and everything else. We can use a refilling of the Spirit. Your Spirit, oh Lord. Your Spirit. We're coming from 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with the first verse. And the topic is filling empty vessels. The question is, only God can take empty vessels and make them overflow. Amen? Again, filling empty vessels. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, once again, for being our God and watching over us. Now, Lord, as I attempt to share this message, be with me and be with these, your people, as we share from the book of 2 Kings about a prophet named Elijah. A prophet, Elijah, who was able to fulfill a need, a desperate need for a family. And Lord, at this time, we all have desperate needs, so we ask that you fill in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we look at this, 2 Kings. I just want to read a few verses for you today. 2 Kings 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves, to be his slaves." So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels, these vessels, and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons live on the rest." You and your sons live on the rest. This is a beautiful illustration that we see here about a miracle that happened to a family who needed help. And again, the topic is filling empty vessels. Only God can take empty vessels and make them overflow. flow. I want to share with you just for a few moments about this subject. First of all, Elijah. Elijah means God of salvation. He was the prophet who took over in the land of the Israelites. He succeeded Elijah. And in this passage, he demonstrates God's concern, not only for some people, but for all people, for taking this widow and satisfying the need that she has. So as we look at this, we see number one, first of all, in that very first verse, this woman was a wife of the sons of the prophets. Sons of the prophets, these were disciples of Elijah and Elisha. These were ministers in training, and they lived in the small cities that the prophets visited when they traveled. Today, these would be seminary students preparing for a life of ministry. I can imagine that these ministers put aside their desires, their ambitions, their goals in life in order to serve God. And that is not unlike today, because today we have many saints who have devoted their life to ministry. They have denied their personal goals to serve God. They have forsaken their ambitions and the occupations that they might have wanted to do, to be an occupation of serving God's people. And, you know, I joke with my fellow ministers that this is one calling that you can go to school for, not with an aim to make more money, but to serve more people. So this was a family that had a heart after God. So this certain woman, the wife of the sons of the prophets, cried out to Elijah saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know your servant fear the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." We all have needs, my brothers and my sisters. There was death in this family. Her husband was her provider. He was her protector, and he was now dead. And there was debt in the family. She was financially overextended. You got to realize at this time, there was no life insurance for God's ministers. Her belongings had been sold. Now she faced the possibility of losing her two sons. Now think about it. As you would look at this, the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be a slave. Now, we have to understand what this really means in the context of that day. In that day, if you owed enough money and you could not pay it, then you could pay your debt by your sons being put into slavery to pay off the debt. We find this in the Old Testament. We find it in Leviticus. We find it elsewhere. And the whole goal is that they are to go into servitude until the debts are paid off. It might seem horrible in today's standards, but that's the way it was done back then. But even in that act, God had a way out, for because they could not serve for more than 6 years, because there would come a year of jubilee where they had to be let go. They had to be let go from their servitude. So they only had a set portion of time that they were to serve under somebody else's leadership, or serve under somebody else to pay off their debt. So this woman cried out to Elijah, "My husband is dead, and my husband that you know is a man of God, that you know is a man who feared the Lord, and yet is to the point where my sons might have to be given up." There was doubt in the family. There was doubt. You know, we have times in our lives that we might have doubt about what God is doing with us. We might have all the faith in the world, but yet we wonder, "Lord, why is this allowed to happen to me, Lord. Lord, I'm serving you in a mighty way. Lord, I'm doing everything to prepare myself for a life of service, but yet my family's not taken care of. Have you ever felt that way, that you had some stuff coming to your life and you kind of wonder, God, where are you now? I need you to be like Dudley Do-Right and show up just in time, Lord. Can you show up right now? There was doubt in the family. They had devoted themselves to the Lord, but still there was doubt. She was destitute. She was desperate. She was in a state of despair. Didn't know what to do, but she knew who to cry out to. She cried out to the prophet and appealed to him because she knew that her husband had been a faithful servant to the Lord. Well, who do we cry out to when we get to this point? Who do we cry out to when we get to the point when we realize that we have served the Lord faithfully, but yet still bad stuff is happening in our lives? Where do you go when your loved one is no longer around? Where do you go when your loved one is laying in the hospital bed? Where do you go when you have more bills than money in the month? Where do you go when you feel empty? Everybody has that empty feeling sometimes in your life. Now notice, she told Elijah her problems, but guess what? She didn't suggest a solution. I think sometimes when we have problems, we want to suggest solutions to the Lord. Lord, here's what I need you to do to help me out. But you know, sometimes it's just taking our problems to the Lord, taking our concerns to the Lord, and that is quite enough. So she took her trouble to Elijah. But what Elijah did was taught some truth to this woman and to this family in verse 2. So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" Now, she's already established that she's overextended. She's already established that she's exhausted all avenues that she knew about in a way to alleviate her desperate situation. But you know what? When we've exhausted all avenues we have, don't you know that God has another way? Amen? God always has a ram in the bush. He always has another way. Elijah said, "Tell me, what do you have in your house, poor woman?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." A jar of oil. What shall I do? He heard the situation. He heard the sorrow. He felt her sadness. And he asked her, "What do you have in your house?" Notice he didn't ask her what she lost. He asked her what she had. And she said, "I have a jar of oil." Now at that time, olive oil was a very important commodity that even the poor had access to. You see, refined olive oil was used for anointing, but it also could be used for cooking. It also could be used as a cosmetic. It also was used as the fuel to keep the lamps burning, to shed light in the midst of the dark night. So she had something in the house. She did not have much, but she had something. I serve a God who will take what you already have and multiply it in a mighty way. Take your situation to the Lord and he will magnify it. He will multiply it. When you have the anointing in your house, guess what? You have enough. By our standard, the situation is dire. But from Elijah's standards and God's standards, he knew that he could take care of it. In verse 3, Elijah said to the woman, then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." So he's telling her, go get empty pots. Go to your neighbor's house and get empty pots. Go to folks you don't know and ask for their empty pots. Go borrow them. He doesn't say to ask them to give them to you, but to ask them to allow you to borrow them for a little while. Do not gather just a few. Now, the thing about it is, he is giving. Elijah is setting this up for a solution that will demonstrate not only the woman's faith, but also her obedience. Here you are, destitute. Here you are. You don't have anything but a jar of oil. Here you are with your sons about to go into servitude to pay off your debts. And the prophet's telling you to go borrow something from somebody else and not borrow full pots, but borrow empty vessels. You know, another message that I could stay on this all day long, working with borrowed vessels. Amen. But I must move on for this subject. So he tells her not to just get a few. He tells her to get as many as you can get. He gave her specific instructions. It kind of reminds me of Noah. You know, when God told Noah to start building an ark because it was going to rain. And if we read the scripture carefully, we see he had never rained before. So Noah had no indication of what this rain was going to do, but all he knew was he had to be obedient to what God had told him and his family to do. Then look at verse 4. And when you come in, now this is still Elijah talking, starting with verse 3, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So he tells her that once you have all these empty vessels that you have borrowed, he tells her that once you have had all, have acquired all of these, go back into your house and shut the door, only you and your sons, and then pour the oil into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, I know most of us will probably be thinking right now, we've already calculated that we've only got 16 ounces or so of oil. Now, how is this going to be multiplied and fill up other vessels? How are we going to fill up a portion, an ounce in each vessel that we have? What are we going to do? We try to think about that kind of thing, but sometimes we need to forgive. We just need to forget our thinking, and we just need to restore our faith. We need to rely on our faith. And verse 5 tells us in 2 Kings 4, so she went from him and shut the door. Now see, she was obedient. She shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now another thing, the sons were obedient too, because the sons didn't do that. Now the sons didn't need to go get all these vessels, but they were obedient to their mother. Now, there's several things that we see here. First of all, she did what she was told. She followed precise directions. Number two, she had to use what she had. She had to pour her meager supply of oil into other containers. And number three, she had to prepare for the abundance that God was going to give her, just like Noah had to prepare for the shelter of the ark, of the shelter that he had to prevent them from succumbing to the rain that was coming. So in verse 6, and I love this. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. Now what this indicates to me, that she was so busy pouring oil, filling up these borrowed vessels, that when she got to the last one and she still had oil in her meager pot that she thought surely there must be another vessel to fill up. There must be another pot to fill up. And her son said, there is not another one left. So the oil ceased. Check this out. The amount of the miraculous oil she received was limited only to the number of vessels she had collected. Think about it. If she had not collected a whole lot, she would not have a whole lot. Amen? If she had only gotten a few vessels, that oil would have lasted only for a few vessels. The extent of the resolution of her crisis was directly proportionate to the degree of her faith. Her blessing was proportionate to her faith. Too many times, my brothers and sisters, when we are empty, we feel that we have nowhere to turn. And we all have times when we feel that we are empty. We feel that we need to be refreshed. It kind of reminds me of a wedding in John chapter 2, first miracle of Jesus. They were at the wedding and the wine dried up. There was no more wine. And Jesus' mother said to her, you know something, we've run out of wine, which was the traditional nourishment at the time. Now, let me do a disclaimer right now. One of the reasons they drank wine back then, because the water was bad. So the wine was good for them. But they didn't drink too much wine. But there was not enough wine for all the guests. And Jesus took some pots of water and turned them into wine. We serve a God who can take what we have and make it beneficial to satisfy our needs, to satisfy our needs. And then in the last verse for today, the seventh verse, then she came and she told the man of God, she told him what had happened. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest. What he was saying is, you have enough to pay off your debts. You have enough so that your sons do not have to go in the servitude. You have enough to have a retirement income to live the rest of your life. You have enough because of your obedience. You have enough. The final instructions for the man of God to this woman prove the capabilities and the ability of God to satisfy our needs. We see Jesus again in this message, as far as Jesus who turned the water into wine. We see the Jesus who fed 5,000 with a few fish and some bread, some loaves of bread. We see Jesus in the use of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life, who allowed Peter to preach so powerfully that 3,000 folks were saved in Acts chapter 2. We see Jesus in the working of healing the sick people, feeding the hungry people, giving the homeless people shelter, giving the naked people clothes, and providing for those of faith. As I look and prepare to conclude this message, I want to share a few takeaways. Number one, we can have as much of God as we are willing to take in. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Some wish for things. We have to come in faith and present our empty vessels to God, desiring his gifts, and he will fill them. God keeps giving himself to us as long as we bring to him that which into he can pour himself into. When we stop bringing, he stops giving. What are we bringing to God? We are bringing our lives to him. We are bringing our devotion to him. We are bringing ourselves to him in prayer, listening for God's answer. We are bringing our hands and our feet to him in service to the Lord. The greatest gift he gave was himself. But we have to come to him and accept him. God will not force himself onto us. He will not make us wise or holy or powerful unless we really desire these gifts and bring him our empty lives for him to fill up. Can you feel that today? Another takeaway is vessels must be empty if we are to receive the fullness of God. Vessels must be empty. This teaches that we have to have the desire. We have to have the expectation. We have to have the faith. We have to have the obedience. And once we are filled, we are obligated to pour into someone else's life. We are obligated. Now, another lesson, another takeaway in verses 5 and 6. Remember, Elijah said to take all these borrowed vessels and go behind your closed doors, you and your sons. Elijah was not even there. Elijah was not even there. You know, someone can speak a word into your life and not even be there to see the fulfillment of it come together. Have you ever been there? Have you just felt the Lord urging you to do something? And once you do it, you are so fulfilled. Elijah was not even with the woman, but he heard the results. He heard the results. She went and told him what had happened. And he told her what to do. The Lord is ready and available to refill us. You know, we get empty at times. Again, and during this time of COVID-19 and pandemic, all of us have our moments. All of us have our moments. No matter how strong we pretend to be, we will have our moments. We never know when, but it will come. You know, when we drive our automobiles, we have something called a fuel gauge. And see, what happens is when we fill up our tank, the needle's on F. But as we drive throughout the weeks, we see that needle going lower and lower towards E. And in my experience, I see people who don't fill up until they hear the ping, 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 until they have the indication that they might have 10 miles worth of fuel to go. Whereas others try and top off every time they get a chance. They don't like to see their gauge go below empty. We monitor that, but how much do we monitor our spiritual life? There are some of us who are on full right now, but there are others who are pinging on empty and don't even know it or ignore it. We serve a God who can take borrowed vessels to redeem a family. We serve a God who can take whatever we have and make it be more than enough. but we have to give ourselves to him. That was established earlier on in this chapter, that her family was devoted to God and they had faith that he would deliver, and he truly did deliver. Not in their ways that they preferred, but in God's ways. Our ways are not God's ways. If we want deliverance, let us pray for it. If we want peace of mind, let us pray for it. Whatever we want or need, let us pray for it and present ourselves as empty vessels, ready to be poured into by a gracious God who is full of grace and mercy, a God who can fill empty vessels. God bless you. I certainly pray that this message has been a blessing to you. I know it was a blessing for me preparing the lesson through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.